So this one's a bit out of left field, so some delicate setup here. Today's smartphone market is essentially a global duopoly with two ecosystems. Apple, which tightly controls design and manufacturing of their iPhone platform. They own and maintain their own operating system in iOS. They operate a global software distribution platform, the App Store. And over time, they continue to bring more and more in-house, including the design and customization of silicon. Then you have Google, which owns and operates the Android OS. Google differs a bit in the hardware side. Outside their flirtation with the Google-branded Pixel, the vast majority of their phones are designed and manufactured by third parties, nearly all of them in the East. The payoff for them is operating their own software distribution platform, much like the console business. So the emergence and sheer dominance of these two ecosystems has, you know, put a lot of bodies in the wake. Palm, BlackBerry, Microsoft, Amazon, Facebook, the list goes on and on. So it's a extraordinarily hard market to punch into for a variety of reasons. One of the major ones is that, you know, you need to take share from two overlords with installed bases in the billions, akin to the console war on steroids. Also, the growth of these ecosystems were brought about in an era where telcos were competing with huge hardware subsidies to lure in and hold on to valuable cellular customers. Another vector is that while mobile distribution is massively profitable, it's also extraordinarily expensive in R&D, and in Apple's case, manufacturing. You know, that said, one of the reasons both Apple and Google have been able to afford this is by the profits they gain from the gaming ecosystem and mobile free-to-play in particular. So let's also briefly note that the time spent on smartphones is dominated by two main things, gaming and then social, which includes messaging and various platforms. And for most consumers, this is easily 70%+ of the time spent on the phone. So the question here is, do you think a games publisher or a group of publishers could skip the in-between and make a gaming-first smartphone?
Today's episode is sponsored by Data.ai to access estimates for rankings, downloads, revenue, usage, or engagement for millions of apps on the App Store and Google Play. Sign up for Data.ai.
There are gaming smartphones today, like Asus ROG, like has ROG branded smartphones from Asus if you're an Android and you like those. But I think what you're talking about is a gaming publisher building their own effectively high-end mobile phone as a mobile handheld console, right? I mean, I think that's where you want to take this. So it's not just make a phone with high-end specs and sell it at a very low margin like Asus does. It's one of these behemoths coming in and saying, we're going to make a high-end phone integrated with software.
Right. And so like the major crux of this argument would be that this is not a valuable business to get into unless you own the distribution. So, you know, any kind of smartphone manufacturer where they're making a phone that adheres to like the Android standards has been shown over time to be a loss-making business. So I guess like the point I was trying to drive to is like, what sort of publisher in the console or PC or mobile space has that kind of heft to be able to do something like that? And the one that keeps coming to mind is Nintendo. And, you know, if you look back at like Pokemon Go, for instance, is a good example. Half a billion lifetime installs, 250 million of those came in the first quarter alone. And then if you look at their shift into like more of a portable console, they've moved like 120 million plus or minus switches over the past, you know, 6-7 years. So like Nintendo has been hesitant to shift to a mobile gaming player because they want to be the distributor. And it's against their values to like monetize irresponsibility. They want to shove out premium products that people can enjoy over a long period of time. They already have strong relationships with third-party developers, which has expanded in the Switch era. And that, you know, again, most use cases for phones are gaming and messaging. So you think about a high-end smartphone bomb of $450 to $550. Apple is able to sell that for 2x that, but they're, you know, a luxury brand, and that's a completely different discussion, yeah, maybe a little bit higher than that. But it would be a more expensive proposition for someone like Nintendo to do this. But, you know, what do you think about the possibility of like Nintendo having a smartphone that would have access to like their full breadth of IP that they would develop on for, you know, the next 10 to 20 years as a platform.
Love it.
Love it. I think it's, yeah, it's to me, this is like an amazing, like it, to your point, Brian, I think if anyone can do it, I think Nintendo is definitely in the best positioned. I think we've talked about the importance of first party exclusive content. If there is a mobile phone, and like the mobile phone and the iPhone basically killed the DS, right? And so there's also an existing market of people who love portable gameplay. And a lot of the content that we used to play on DS is, you know, I mean, it's kind of, we got to use a DS to play it. So, you know, if there was a phone and, you know, the Nintendo App Store included, you know, exclusive titles only on the Nintendo phones, and the issue with Android and like a lot of the messaging you see from Apple is around privacy and safety, like who do you trust as much as Apple? Like Nintendo is one of those handful of brands on one hand that families trust, right? So I think that if you created, like, it would have to be like, you know, screw Android and all the nonsense and things like that, like fully vertically integrated, they build a custom software experience. That's a part I'm not sure it's going to be great, but I do think like if they can get that to be great and feel kind of like iOS, and then have the exclusive games, and you can imagine, I can imagine any kid at their school with their Nintendo phone playing the Pokemon game that you can only get on that phone. And then all the other kids are going to be like, hey, mommy, hey, daddy, get me the Nintendo phone right now. if they remastered the original Pokemon Red and Blue and made that like that came with it, like I don't even need to see the price.
Yeah, just put the whole DS catalog on there, right? Like
yeah, Advanced Wars. I don't even need new games. I just want the catalog of stuff to play through again. Yeah. Like, just take my money. But I just speculating, like Amazon could provide Fire OS. Like they could do something with Amazon for the operating system for the software stack, because Nintendo's OS software, like on the consoles, is largely crap.
Yeah,
it's awful. Agree. Right, and you were saying that nicely. I'll say it not nicely. But you know, if you go to Amazon, you say, "Hey, we'll do a deal for a Nintendo phone, a Nintendo phone. I don't know, come up with some fancy name. We'll leverage Fire OS as the core operating system to build off of. Then you don't have to do all the work. Amazon would sign up for that because they gain distribution and a reputable partner to really challenge Android and iOS."
Yeah, as someone who used to own a Fire phone, I would say maybe they should just start from scratch and just build a custom Nintendo thing. But I think the idea...
No, but Fire OS has gotten better. They have the Fire Sticks and things like that. Like okay. They're workable user interfaces. Like I'm not sure you can entirely say that the Switch user interface
is entirely workable. Yeah, no, I'm not saying that's good. I'm just saying maybe they get a new Navy SEAL strike team, you know, to do the mobile OS for them, but...
Yeah, that's probably one of the biggest hindrances, I would think, is just the development of, I mean, because even iOS and Android get a lot of crap for things that they haven't implemented over time. But you have to remember, these have been like pieces in motion for a dozen years now. And they've, all the features they've had to put into place, even around like privacy and how much time you use the damn thing, and, you know, all the ad sharing and figuring out how to get installs into the phones, they've gotten very convoluted over time, and it's very hard to kind of reimagine those things standing still. So they would have an opportunity to start from scratch, but maybe it would just be a much lighter build at first and just support things like text messaging, calls, games, maybe Netflix, Spotify, things like that, not get too hardcore and needing the entire world. And then, you know, obviously not having any IAP based games on it. So I think it would be fun for developers to have a new place to distribute high quality games that can be played portably without monetizing as we have been for the past decade.
Now, I'm sure like Epic would be one of the first to sign up, right, to get Fortnite on a new phone. You know, one other idea that I thought of, which is less like gaming publisher, and you know, you, Brian, you mentioned two applications, gaming and social, but I don't know if people remember, but there was a time when Apple was thinking about banning Twitter off of iOS. And then there was, you know, just rando conversations on Twitter about Elon as part of Tesla doing a Tesla phone. But, you know, we do know Elon loves games. Tesla has the world's greatest hardware and software engineers. I think they could do it. And whether it integrates more directly with Tesla or maybe Twitter,
But I think that would also be like, if, you know, if anyone were to come up with a new phone to get me off of my iPhone, and it, you know, that's a pretty tall order. It would probably be, I would buy the Nintendo phone and I would probably buy a Tesla phone. So for me, Tesla would be the other option.
Tesla certainly has the chops in manufacturing and software and battery tech, which are all critically important for a phone. I think if we're sticking to the question, I don't think there's a huge chance that Tesla could push a phone to market leading with gaming because they don't have any content right now. All their content they're putting in their cars is somebody else's, and it's more of like a feature than a moneymaker. Mm-hmm. And I think we're a good decade away still from playing games in a driverless car, but that is certainly a future that I'm looking forward to. You know, that said, they have this extraordinarily strong brand following that I think I'd only put up there with companies like Apple and Nintendo. And what I do think is that they could sell a smartphone that would be able to sell at a much higher ASP than a family type brand like Nintendo. So they could put a bunch of extra bells and whistles in there. But I just think that the hindrance there is on content. They'd are gaming content. They'd have to lead with something else. A deep integration.
They could lead with AI.
Or maybe they buy Xbox.
That's actually a company that could do it.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, could Tesla do it? Yes. Should Tesla do it? Probably not. Because they're just getting distracted by too many things. Like people are talking about Twitter with Elon and SpaceX. No one's talking about XAI, which is the AI company that he started. And Tesla, it was just reported by SemiAnalysis. Tesla is going to be buying a quarter billion of NVIDIA AI servers this year that they're then going to rent to XAI. So they're just fronting the CapEx that they're going to rent at below market rates to XAI. They're still going to make a margin on it, but they're going to make probably half the margin that GCP or Azure would make renting similar servers or AWS. So yes, they could, but should they? I don't think so. I'm not really all the time a stay in your lane, bro, but like, I think this is a situation where Tesla should probably stay in their lane and focus on keeping their cars and staying in their lanes.